Om Shanti. We'll come back now and do look at looking at diet, actually. Diet and food, which is a big part of our lives. So we thought it's a good idea to look at food, because every day we have Brahma Bhojan, agriculture is, every industry has to change because of climate change and resources. Agriculture is a big one, and there's a lot of pressure because people are used to eating what they eat. They don't necessarily want to change, but the pressure is that we all have to change. So we're just going to look at some of our food systems and the impact that those food systems have on the planet in terms of resources, in terms of land clearing. And, you know, we lead very low-impact lives, generally speaking, BKs. But nevertheless, it's good to think about what we eat, how we eat, and if we can, just to realise that everything we do has an impact, and, you know, what can we do? How can we continue to live according to our Brahman principles in a way that is supportive to nature? I'm sorry, I almost forgot. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a banana. So, let's begin with this. Read your card. I'm going to read mine. And then let's just do a 1 minute meditation. And you can, I'm doing mine on the banana, but you can adapt and adjust to what you are. You know, we're very creative here, so it's an opportunity to be a fruit or a vegetable. So mine is, you are incognito, gentle, and softly spoken. Like the banana, your hidden softness and gentle ways brings comfort to many. So whether you're a potato, a cauliflower, an apple, just feel the appreciation of being that for a moment. Also add, the banana has a good skin, so is not so easily influenced, and is highly nutritious, so can give benefit to many. You know, we can really churn about these simple things that we... So should we go on to the next slide? So this is a big slide. We have two big slides, actually. But It's interesting to understand the broad effect that our food systems have. It literally affects every single system in our environment. Land use, water, forest clearing, air pollution, transport, packaging, plastic, it's all involved. Livestock, I think we know, is the world's largest user of land resources. 80% of the world's agricultural land goes to feed animals who are then killed for either their meat, their milk, their eggs, their flesh, their fur, their feathers. And if we look here, I mean, we eat, well, I was going to say we eat a plant-based diet, but actually, to not go into it too much, but we have a vegetarian diet without eggs, a lacto-vegetarian diet according to our tradition. But the world has changed a lot in the last 100 years since Baba's time, and a lot of Brahmins are now just choosing not to have any animal products for ethical reasons, for health reasons, also for environmental reasons. And we can see here all the vegetables are down here, and then as we start getting to the greater resources and greater impact on the environment, we reach eggs and then fish, then the meat of birds, the meat of pigs, and then the milk of animals. It, you know, it's essentially the nursing fluid of a cow for their young, or of another species for their young. And then we get up into beef, cow meat, cheese is even worse than that. And then, of course, we have the flesh of the animal above that. So, I mean, it's a funny thing. We know this world is not going to remain as it is. We do know that. But we are also, we live in nature for 5,000 years. We interact with the natural world. Souls, God and matter, that wonderful book that Jagdish Bhai wrote. And we think about souls and God, but sometimes we forget about matter. And it's, you know, now is our life to create a loving relationship with the natural world and with other species. So here we see the impact of different diets. And this is a very good site, actually. I don't know if you can see, but it's called ourworldindata.org, and it has a lot of good information drawn from scientific and government studies. So you can see the lowest impact diet is the vegan diet. That's, it just means a diet without any animal products. No red meat, dairy or poultry, people having eggs and fish, okay, it is a bit more. Those having no red meat or dairy, it's also a great improvement. But when we get up to vegetarian diets, even those that include milk, then we're seeing a greater impact. And up here we see that out of all our cropland and pasture, this huge one up the top, which is 2.89 billion hectares, almost 3 billion hectares, and yet 740 mega hectares only are used for human food. And you think about the people who are starving. And we're not going to stop Kali Yuga being Kali Yuga, but it's like Jantaben said the other day, it's... we can reduce the suffering now by how we live, because everything we do has an impact on everything else. We all breathe the same air, walk on the same earth, use the same water. We won't stop the demise of Kali Yuga, but we create very good sanskaras. We create great love for our fellow human souls, also our non-human kin, our non-human sisters and brothers, and the way we engage with plants and the environment in relationship of love, as opposed to a relationship of what they can do for us. And so just to note that cropland, the human food there, such a tiny amount, and then 538 mega hectares for animal feed, and all the rest is pasture where we graze animals who are then killed for their meat or their milk or their skin. So this is something to consider. And yeah, and this is a very good picture of some fruit and vegetables.
Om Shanti. So this is some food for your mind. And this is just touching the surface, but it's an invitation for all of us to become more conscious in our daily choices. We already have changed so much, but there may be some more changes that we can introduce to our lives so we would live in a non-violent way and so-called sustainable way for the planet. It's still possible.
And I should have said before, actually, but I've worked in the animal protection field for a number of years. I became an animal activist and then I worked in politics, and I've been into the slaughterhouses, and I know a lot now about this because I really wanted to inform myself. I won't go into details about anything bad, but if you'd like to know more about moving to a plant-based diet or becoming vegan, then I can do a separate session that's just information and to share what I have come to learn. If you want to, just come up and see me afterwards, and maybe I can do a separate session.
Yes, thank you. The whole session is like that because we are not able to say everything what we would like to. So this is just an invitation for those of you who are interested to come, and we can explore more together. Yes, thank you. So in this way, we'll move to the next sphere. And now let us look at water and how we can serve water. And for this, I would like to invite our brother Chandresh. Please come. Brother Chandresh is now looking after yogic farming in Tapovan. And he has invited us to visit Tapovan. So there will be a tour visit organized on the 9th of March, and everyone is welcome. We will then have very extensive information, and we will see how yogic farming is being done in different locations down the mountain. So Brother Chandresh is also looking after the training center for farmers coming from all over India to learn about not only yogic farming, but also natural farming. Actually, those two things we combine. It's something else than organic farming. We speak and we share knowledge and we practice natural farming and yogic farming. If you want to learn more about it, please come on the 9th. But today, Chandresh Bhai is here to introduce a new campaign, new project, which has been inaugurated recently. And it's about conserving, protecting water. In Hindi, it's called Jal Jan Abhiyan, which means water conservation education campaign. And he will tell us what this campaign is about, but what is even more interesting, how we are going to make it happen in a practical way, on the subtle level and on the physical level. And in this way, it really will become a very good best practice that, again, we can share not only in India, but throughout the whole world. And again, it's a way to introduce in a relevant way Baba's message to everyone. So, Chandresh Bhai, please.
Om Shanti. I'm not very good in English, but I will try to convey my message. This is a new campaign launched by Yagya, and it is called Jan Jal Abhiyan. In this campaign, we will try to educate the users how we can preserve water, what are the best practical ways to conserve water, what strategies should we make, and along with that, we are we will try to make more than 5,000 water bodies and more than 10,000 awareness programs are going to conduct, and the almost the beneficiaries are going to be more than 1 crore people. We are trying to reach at least 1 crore people to educate what are the possibilities to how we can conserve water, what are the different ways and how we can conserve water. This is Indian government's project. It's called Unnat Bharat Abhiyan. In this project, they are covering organic farming, renewable energy, water management, and all other activities by which we can make a rural India a better India. So, in this segment, the water management part is there, and we are going to focus on water management in this. With the help of Government of India, we are going to take this segment. Generally, this major areas of interventions are education, health, all part they are taking, but they are covering this with the holistic perception, and there where the Brahma Kumari's roles come. In this, there is a national steering committee to operate the whole project, and the chairman of this national steering committee is a Dr. Vijay Bhatkarji. He is the person who invented a supercomputer in India. He was the director for IIT Delhi, and he is a very great person. He is in touch with Baba's family from last 26 years, and he met Baba also. And his vision, and he thinks that such kind of projects can be executed with the organization like Brahma Kumaris, and if Brahma Kumaris can be a part of this project, this is going to be a great initiative. And in this project, the local district administrative office and the Panchayat Raj institutions and the voluntary organization like us are together, three of them together, they are going to work. So they are working on many segments, but we will focus on water in this campaign. We know the requirement of water and how the water is used for humans, for agriculture, for industrial use, and animals and forest use. But we come to know that 89% of the water consumption is in the field of agriculture, and the water wastage is in the field of agriculture. So we have to literate the farmers, we have to more focus on the rural part of the India. If we want to conserve water, we have to focus on the major, we have to focus on the rural part. So okay, I don't think the slide is lights. I shall describe. I'm not getting. Yeah. It's how the water is used in the human uses, in the agriculture uses and in the industrial use, when we see, it is 89% of the water is used in the agriculture, 5% are used for the human uses, and 6% is in the industrial use and the forest use. So if we have to make this campaign a successful campaign, we have to focus on the rural part where it covers almost 92% of the water consumption goes. So this is why we are focusing on the village development. This is the picture of where our, what are the water sources we have. 97% of the water is in the ocean. 2.2% is in the form of ice. Only 0.7% is available in the groundwater. And surface water available is only 0.1%. The total water available with us, the surface water is only 0.1%. So we have to focus on groundwater and surface water. How exactly we are going to do this campaign is, we are going to connect with the Unnat Bharat Abhiyan. They have connected more than 8,000 higher educations in India, and these higher education institutes, along with their students, they are going to make the survey of the village, particular village. We are going to select some villages, and this, with the help of the students, we are going to have a survey of that village. We will make the all satellite visions of that village, and what are the resources available in that village. Means, what are the wells, what are the bore wells, ponds, river, canal, non-functional pipe water, what are the, what exactly the situation is there in that village. What is the water quality in that village? What are the water pollutions? And then we will focus on rainwater harvesting structures. What are the possible ways of rainwater harvesting? This is one of the possible structures. We say it crescent moon structure. It is very easy to build, but creates a very good impact. 2000 liters of water can be stored in the structures. In the grassland also, we can make such kind of structures. With the help of this satellite designs, we can identify what exactly the, where are the water bodies, what exactly we have in that village. There are some dryland strategies where we can use the drip irrigation, the sprinklers, the vertical mulching, the agroforestry, how water can be get conserved by using these strategies. When we use a drip irrigation, almost 80% of the water can be saved instead of a flood irrigation. Yeah, one more.
I want to add one thing. We have one initiative like OLA system. You might be heard, which is an effective irrigation method where people can use the pots. And in the areas where is the low rainfall, the people use some pot and pitcher thing to irrigate their orchards. And we started this initiative here in Rajasthan and in Gujarat, and which is having more water using capacity than the drip irrigation, water use efficiency, like more than 80%. So this is the good things, and these are the dry land strategies which help the farmers beyond the water in the ponds, water. We have this myth, we need water in the storage, like ponds, big dams, but water, the nature of water is to flow, and we have to give them channel, means different ways in our land, and then it leave the land. Or each and every drop of rainfall should be there where it drops like that.
There are some, these are some designs of grassland water harvesting strategies. There are various possible ways, continuous contour trenches, percolation tanks, boundary trenches, swells. These are the structures which can easily be made with the help of JCB or some such equipments. So with the help of government and with some NGOs, we can execute such things. For individual users, a rooftop rainwater harvesting is the best practice. If individuals do this, it is a good way of rainwater harvesting. We have one village in Kutch called Kanakpur, where all the households have this facility at their home, and they are harvesting a very good amount of water and using throughout the year. They are using it as a purified water. So this is what exactly, what are the possibilities of rainwater harvesting and other strategies for water harvesting. So if this is just a beginning, and with the help of Government of India, some NGOs, some higher education institutes, and with the volunteers of Brahma Kumaris, we can make the things possible. Om Shanti.
Chandrish Bhai, thank you very much. It was very good, and your enthusiasm is contagious, you know. He not only is involved in yogic farming, but now also this big water campaign, and it's really wonderful, and again, whatever we can help, we are really willing to be part of that and help in that. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, water. So what is the biggest body of water? This is a very easy question. Our ocean. And it's one ocean, not three, four oceans. It's just one global, wonderful ocean. So I would like us to finish this session on water with serving an ocean. Okay? So we'll have a meditation. For translation, I will try to give some also commentary. This meditation was prepared for UN Ocean Conference, which happened in Portugal last year. So this is a new way in which the Brahma Kumaris is getting engaged in this UN service, nature service, outreach programs. Just another opportunity for a wonderful service of Baba. I take a moment to reflect on the state of the vast ocean.
What is the state of the vast ocean?
Its health and ability to sustain life are threatened by humans.
It became unhealthy. It's not able to sustain life because of humans.
And poison it.
Humans overexploit it and poison it.
The unlimited, generous, eternal ocean is sick now.
The ocean is sick.
With the eye of my mind, I look with deep concern and appreciation at this great wonder.
Let me look.
That shaped
at this great wonder that shaped the whole planet.
Every cloud, every raindrop comes back to it.
Every drop of water comes back to it.
I smell the ocean air. I hear the rush of wind.
I can smell
across
it.
The water.
I can hear it.
I listen to the surges of the ocean as the waves roll and then break into sparkling surf nearby. I dive into the ocean.
I dive into
below the surface to the underwater world.
To the underwater.
The kingdom of fish, animals, and exotic plants. Ocean nourishes everything gently. I take in the beauty and the richness of the life below the water.
The beauty and the richness of the life below the water.
Ahead of me, I see a vision of light. From high above, the rays of sun are touching the ocean bed.
The rays of sun are touching the ocean bed.
The place deep down. The space of absolute silence.
Space of absolute
and complete
silence.
Stillness.
Complete stillness.
I become calm and centered.
I become calm and
it's
centered.
As if I've merged into the ocean of peace.
I merge into the ocean of peace.
I enjoy the tranquility of the ocean of peace. I'm sending my gratitude, respect.
So I share my gratitude, respect,
the ocean
and love
and its life
with the ocean.
And now I focus on the light. I follow the light.
And
up.
Now I follow the light.
My consciousness is rising, opening.
My consciousness
and
is rising.
Unlimited.
I become unlimited.
The energy of the ocean responds.
And the ocean responds.
Gets uplifted too.
Gets uplifted.
The light from above purifies.
The light from
the water
above
particles
purifies the water.
Transforms and renews the ocean. The end is the beginning.
The end is the beginning.
And the cycle continues.
The cycle continues to turn.
The ocean returns to its purity, abundance, and
the ocean
harmony.
Returns to its harmony.
And I return to the activities of the surface.
And
I am rested, refreshed, and empowered to make a change and to care for the wonder,
keep my determination, power to make a change for the wonder of the ocean. Shanti. So from the ocean to the sun. We are very fast today in our journey through and with different elements. This is just an invitation for you, actually, if you have not been, to come to India One Solar Thermal Power Plant, which is in Shantivan, and see how we can use clean, renewable, and safe energy for our life. Down there is research and development project, which demonstrates that it's possible to use the energy from the sun for 24-hour operation. It's very unique. And it is possible because the intention was to bring benefit to nature, not to make money. It was not short-term benefit, but it was a long-term vision of Baba himself and our Dali Janki. And then many instruments came and made it happen with Baba's guidance and the faith of Dadi in all of us. So now I will just show you a short film, and yes, we extend the invitation for all of you to come and see by yourself and experience the wonder of sun. And this is India One Solar Power Plant, which is located in this beautiful area of Aravalli Mountains, the most beautiful scenery we could have imagined. It's a quite big area, and there you can see all these reflectors. 770 big reflectors. One reflector is like 60 square meters, which is a good size of a flat in Poland. It's just one, and we have 770. But the uniqueness of this power plant is the storage. Storing renewable energy is the biggest challenge in this field. And Baba's children, in cooperation with scientists and engineers, developed a way to store energy so we can produce electricity from the sun for 24 hours a day. And these reflectors are like sunflowers. They follow the sun. Just like we follow Baba, they follow the sun. And then they accumulate the power from the sun via concentrating the rays of sun into one static point in the receiver, which is in front of the reflector. So this technology actually is the technology of Baba. I, the soul, follow the sun of knowledge. I take power, I change myself, and I share with others.
This is exactly how this power plant works. The solar reflector is focusing on the sun. The sunlight that comes is concentrated in one point to generate power, and then this power is transforming water into steam and then into electricity. And it's been shared with so many people, 25,000 at least, and then with the whole world, because we share this technology with anyone. This is one of our flagship projects in all those different UN conferences. Wherever we go, we speak about it, and then people ask, wow, but how it's possible? And then we can explain how and who is behind it. Everything was developed, designed, fabricated, installed, erected by Brahmins in cooperation with indigenous peoples, you know, local people from that area. So there was also a lot of capacity building, a lot of health campaign, which was accompanying the whole technical side of the project. And this is how the electricity goes to Shantivan and Manmohinivan, 24 hours a day. India One Solar Thermal Power Plant, and you are all very much welcome. Thank you. We are great. We are just on time. This is wonderful. So we have one agenda point left, but very special, very beautiful, very experiential. So Sister Tamasin will lead us through that. Thank you.
Thank you, Anisha. So now this is a real change of pace. So actually, it'd be good if you could open the outside doors. We're going to get up and we're going to do some Indigenous Australian Earth Connection practices. Oh, yes, you can put the lights on now. Yes. You can put the lights on. So I'll just tell you a bit about what we're going to do. So, and also I have to say for the recording, this can't come in the recording because of the laws around Indigenous knowledge. So I'm from Australia and I learned from the Indigenous Australians these Earth Connection practices. And how they came about is this Indigenous man, he's a Gunditjmara Gunai Kurnai man, and he was working with local Aboriginal kids. And they were like misbehaving and playing up, and he couldn't settle them down. And so he went to his elders, his uncles and his grandfathers, and said, look, these kids have real behavioural problems. What am I supposed to do? And his elder said, no, they don't have behavioural problems. They have disconnection problems. And you all in this world have disconnection problems because you've forgotten that you're part of country. And they use the word country with a capital C, meaning we're not separate to the land and water and other animals. We are of that. We are part of that. So this Aboriginal man, Jamie, began learning these connection activities from his uncles and his elders and his grandparents, and that really changed the lives of these kids. And then other people thought, and it grew, because everyone is suffering from a disconnection sickness, especially people are not off their phones. They don't know where they've come from. They've lost their ancestral track. Like, they don't feel they belong and they feel disconnected. And it's causing anxiety and disconnection, depression. There's this new term, eco-anxiety. So I'm going to take you through this series of movements. Now, how many elements do we have, do you think? Who said? Five. Okay. So, according to the Aboriginal Australians, we have 14. And I wonder, you know, if we go really far back, how many we had, you know, how many we were aware of because we were so in harmony with the environment. So,
So we're going to go through a series of it. I can describe it like it's a combination of a children's book, a meditation, and a yoga practice. It's very simple yoga practice. You can come in the front if you like. You will need a little bit of room, but just not too much room. It's not strenuous at all. And you're welcome to come in the front if you want. And it goes through the 14 elements. So we begin, I'll talk through them. We begin with the creator, first element, Baba, of course. The sun, the moon, earth, lightning, rain, wind, the tree, the air animal, the land animal, the water animal, man, woman, child. And the Australian Aboriginal people, they say you can't take one element out. Each relies on all the others. And so do it at your own pace. If anything's difficult, please don't do it. If you decide not to do it, you can do it as a meditation. The only thing is there will be a little bit of squatting, but, you know, it's very easy. So we begin by just standing where we are. Ideally, we would do this outside. Sometime we will do this outside, but for now. Anyway, our feet is on cement, which is actually earth. So we are standing on Mother Earth. I am the soul landing silently in the forehead of this magnificent earthen temple, my home of this body. And so I bring my hands to the front of my body and I draw up, just scanning the body and giving thanks to the body for being my home. And then I reach up and I acknowledge the creator energy, the energy of Baba, the creator spirit. And I draw all that good creator energy. I say, thank you, Baba. And I bring that good creator energy into the heart space of my body. And then I acknowledge all the creator energy in the waters as well, all the waters of the over this beautiful planet. And I pull all that beautiful creative energy in the waters into my heart space. And then I take my hands down and I just imagine my hands touching the soil and then deep into the earth and below the soil and the rocks and the crystals and deep, deep into the molten core, the soft core of Mother Earth. An incredible creator energy, and I bring all that beautiful earth energy back into the heart space of my body. And now I bring my arms wide because I'm so grateful for all beings everywhere, the built environment, the non-built environment, all the animals and the plants and the birds and the people and everything, and I embrace them all. I say thank you for this incredible drama. Thank you, the creative energy of the drama, and I bring that into my heart space. And then I bring my hands down as we start to honour the sun, and we draw the shape of the sun, the big orb, the beautiful, magnificent, life-giving, warm-giving orb. And then I bring my hands halfway down to honour the autumn equinox, where day and night are half. There is equal light and dark. And then we come down to the winter solstice. It's the time of rest, regeneration, quiet, hibernation. And then after that stillness, things start to bud. We bring our arms out again, halfway, this time for the spring equinox. As things start to bud, have you noticed that even when it's still cold, the birds will be singing and the buds are just about to burst because they know what's coming. And what's coming is the summer solstice, the brightest time of the sky, the hottest time, maximum growth, maximum warmth. So I thank the sun for the experience of day, for the experience of life. And we bring our hands down. And now we honour the moon. And it's the same shape, of course, this orb of the moon. And we turn to our left and we bring our hands in an arc to honour the waxing moon. How the moon goes from the crescent and it grows and grows and grows and begins to become full. And as we're honouring the moon, we honour the effect it has on all the waters of the planet and all the waters in our body. We're all affected by that watery moon energy. And then we bring our hands up again to honour the fullness of the moon, the bright, cool moon that gives life to the night forest. And then we turn to the right as we honour the moon as it wanes in the sky and becomes just a little sliver of light. Baba sometimes says, we're like that. We're just a crescent at the end of the cycle. And now we come to the earth. So the earth in the shape of the mountains. We honour the mountains of this earth, all the shape, different shapes of the land, the valleys. And the tectonic plates that move deep beneath the earth, that provide energy and life. And then along with that earth energy, we come up to the sky. And here we honour the lightning. And lightning happens when the energy of the sky meets the energy of the earth. So we have sheet lightning. We bring our arms down to honour sheet lightning. That's where the whole sky lights up. And then we have chain lightning. We bring one arm down at a time. And then we have bolt lightning that recharges the minerals in the earth. It actually changes nitrogen into nitrates. And another great element of light. Lightning is the ability to create fire. And again. And one more time. And this element of fire, of course, is crucial. It's crucial for taking care of country. It's crucial. One more time. It sounds nice also. Taking care of country, feeding our families, looking after our homes, providing warmth. And after fire, of course, comes the coolness of the rain as the water evaporates up from the water bodies on our beautiful planet. And then we turn to the left to honour the weather patterns that come from the west. We thank you, rain. We evaporate up. We acknowledge the rain coming down from the south, and we do that by extending our hands behind us to honour those weather patterns from the south and evaporating up. And then the seasons and the weather and the rains that come from the east, they often have a very different quality than those from the west or the south. Evaporating up. And finally, the rains that meet us from the north. We thank you, rains, for bringing coolness to our lives. And then after the fire and the rain, another of nature's great gardeners, the wind. And you can be any kind of wind you like. It can be a little breeze. Or it can be a gale or a tornado. and the winds are magnificent. They pick up sands from one continent and distribute them to another continent. And they pollinate, they move pollen and grass and sand and seed. And as you are the wind, you notice there's a seed. And you catch the seed, you the wind, you catch the seed. And you gently help it land on the earth. And as the seed lands on the earth, you realize that you are the seed. I'm the seed, safe and warm in my earthen home, quiet and still. But I feel the warmth of the sun on me, and I feel the trickle of the rain, and I want to grow. So I grow and I push my little green face up through the earth. And I feel the warmth of the day. Oh, it's such a beautiful day, the warmth of the sun. And there are other trees outside, and I'm just a little sapling. And my arms, I stretch my arms out, and they're my branches. My fingers are the leaves. And then I breathe for the world. And feel how good it is to feel my roots so securely anchored in the earth, and then the freedom of my movement on top of the earth. No tree like me. Every tree is unique. I, you, we all are so unique, the unique trees of this world. And then I bring my hands up and I marvel at my canopy. I trace my arms around my canopy and I marvel at the beauty of it. The flowers, the fruits, the leaves, the seeds. And then I bring my hands down and I notice there's a little nest. And in that nest is a tiny little bird. And that bird is growing, so I bring the nest up. Going to help her fly out because she's just about ready to fly. She's growing. Oh, and she opens her wings. And then she starts to fly. And I'm the eagle. I'm the wedge-tailed eagle. It's a beautiful Australian bird. And then I put my right arm out, my right wing, and I soar. I saw and I look out over the world. I look out over Gyantsa River. How beautiful it is to be soaring on the wind. My wings feeling the wind beneath them. And I flap my wings again. Oh, it's so wonderful. Such freedom to be in the sky. And then I put my left wing out and I look out over the right. I look out over my life. And my past and my present and my future, my Brahman life, it's so wonderful. Oh, amazing. And three more times I flap my wings and enjoy being the eagle. The air animal is this element. And then as the air animal, I come and I land by a rock. And next to that rock is a land animal. And I choose the kangaroo because the kangaroo is a very important animal. Very important. They do a lot of hopping, as you might know. They do a lot of grazing. And they're very important for regenerating grasslands and for reseeding. But they also know how to look after themselves. So they stop and they have a bit of a scratch. But then they go back to work. They do lots of service. Lots of service, but they're good for us because they remind us to look after ourselves and also look after each other. And they take a good rest. And then it's the end of the day. They have to get up for Amrit Vela, so they've got to have a rest. And they go down and they lie down next to a waterway. And in that waterway is a water animal. And I want to talk about the eel. Now, the eel is a very special water animal in Australia. The eel is a saltwater and freshwater. And when the parent eels go to give birth, they swim hundreds of kilometres away from their home waters to have their baby eels. And when they have their young, the parents leave the body. But the children, the baby eels, they know how to get back to their ancestral lands. And how do they know? Because we all have our own earth ancestry. We have it from Satyug, but even in this body, in the body of our current lives, that ancestry of this life, when we trace it back, we have our own earth ancestry. And so the eel swims back home. And now we acknowledge, we come to the element of man. And here we bring our right arm forward and our left hand back to honour the tools they've used recently, like the spear, the technology of human beings, particularly the man. And then we honour the boomerang, which is a symbol of human and nature technology when they come together, and on the other side. And then also the nets, made also with natural materials, the ability of humans to create technology with nature. Then they bring their products back to camp. And there are the women. And the women are symbolised with the digging stick, because the Aboriginal women in Australia, they're always chatting and digging, digging and chatting, and they use the digging stick to unearth the native yams and other native foods and herbs and, I can't remember what it's called, but other native foods. They also make their baskets, and they use the baskets to pick the native plums, native fruits, mushrooms, and then they bring everything back for the kids. Whoa! And then the kids all come running, and the women pick up the kids. Oh my God, there's so many of them. Anyway, they're holding the kids, and the children, they're laughing and they're playing, and they're so happy to see their mums and their aunties and their grandmothers. Oh, but they're getting a bit big, so we have to let them go for a bit. And we're the child. Of course, we're God's child. We're the child of the future, we're the ancestors as well. So as a child, we take a swim through the water of life. It's okay, right? It's good. And as we grow, we become more confident. Yeah, it feels good, you know? I've got a connection with all those elements that have come before, and I feel good. I've grown up right, and I've had good guidance. So now that I'm really out in the river of life, I look out to my ancestors and I throw the water of life on them to thank them. Thank you for teaching me everything, the daddies and everyone and all of the ancestors of our current birth. Thank you, and our grandparents and our friends and everyone in this room. Throw the water of life on each other. And then take a big scoop and throw the water of life over yourself. And feel as that cool water of life just dribbles down you, so cool and refreshing. So grateful to be who I am and where I am, right here and right now. I am the child, the 14th element, the final element. And in my mind, I meet with the first element, the Creator. And I acknowledge and thank the Creator and all of the 14 elements. And I understand, standing here, how I wish to live in harmony with myself, in harmony with all beings, and in harmony with nature. Om. Wave connecting us with the elements and bringing out our child, and never quite sure what to say after that because it seems to all be said, but so Om Shanti. What's next? Okay, so this was a bit dependent on time, but I think we have time. So, with the 14 elements that we did, there may be one that you particularly liked, were particularly drawn to, were particularly touched by. So, Annetta is handing around some coloured pieces of paper, and I'd like you to, whatever element touched you, just to write a one or two line blessing about it. It can follow the same pattern as the potato banana ones, if you like. It, in your own words, whatever you want to write. And once you've written it, just exchange it with the person next to you. And if you need a pen, if you need something to write with, can you put up your hand and we'll... Or maybe you've all got... So we'll just take a few minutes to do that and then we'll finish with a moment of silence. Another 3 or 4 minutes.